We've been preaching a series on Let's Run. I think the heart for this series has come from this point where it's easy to talk about serving God. It's easy to talk about, like, I go to church and I know I'm going to heaven, but it almost seems like our faith is almost at times kind of in this sedimentary stage where it's just kind of there. We're just existing. We keep doing the same things over and over again, and there's not a whole lot that we're seeing as far as fruit. The encouragement from this message is this, is that God is glorified when his people bear much fruit. So my challenge through this series that I'm preaching is this: let's run. Let's run. The first message was about don't look back, using the example of Lot and his family leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't look back, but run. Last week we talked about the importance of knowing the direction in which we are running, and that we run to the name of the Lord. That is that strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. This week I want to preach to you about running with endurance. It's easy to say, to some degree, run from sin, run from the danger, and then we'll take off and we'll sprint from it, right? It's easy to say, yes, I know where I'm going. I know the direction that I'm supposed to run. But is it always easy to keep running? That's where it gets difficult, isn't it? To keep running when it doesn't, you don't feel like running. Running with endurance is the message today. And we're going to be in two passages of Scripture. So if you would first go to the Old Testament and just mark your place at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And then flip over to the New Testament and go to Hebrews chapter 12. So Isaiah chapter 40, we'll get to in just a few moments. Hebrews chapter 12 is where we're going to begin. The thing about running is this, is that there's all kinds of different types of running. We mentioned last week about those crazy ones that like to run for fun. You know, they like to run. Some people run only when they're being chased by that big bear. Some people run for health purposes. Some people like to run in different competitions. There's all kinds of different running. The Christian life is a race. But to know what race you're in matters. The Christian life is not a sprint. I remember I was in third grade, first time that I was getting to go to summer camp. And the summer camp that we went to, they had competitions all throughout the week, and you could earn that blue ribbon if you were the best or whatever. And I was a third grader going up against fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. And there was a part of me that has never changed. I don't care if you're a sixth grader, I was going to beat you. And I remember that they were doing the cross-country race. And I got in, lined up, and I was going to run it. And man, as soon as they blew that whistle, I took off and I was running as hard as I can. And I led that thing for 7/8 of it. But man, when that last eighth of whatever it was running come along, I was like, whew, I just had nothing left in me. And I got passed by one kid after another. The Christian life is not that sprint. You can't just take off and think, I'm going to run as hard as I can forever and be okay. But it's also not a casual walk. It's not a spectator sport. It is a race. And in the book of Hebrews, I want you to read with me chapter 12, all of verse 1, 2, and part of verse 3. And this is a call to endurance. This is what we're talking about, running with endurance. Therefore, since we have also such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith, for the joy that lay before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and give up. This is the challenge that we have, is that we are called to run with endurance. And let me just ask a question. Does anybody in here ever get tired, or does it feel tiresome to keep on trying to do what's right day after day? It could be right in the sense of, all right, parents, can we? We're in church, can we be real? It can be tiresome being a parent, can't it? Where you have to be the one that gets up and fixes the food and cleans the house and does all these things. You can get wore out taking care of just the little necessities of the kids' lives. Sometimes parents, you just wish that you could like clock out and not go back to work. Like, let me be done with this already. There are a lot of things in life that just bear down on us from a physical standpoint. But what about the emotional things? Anybody in here would say, oh, man, lately I've felt kind of emotionally drained. Like trying to find the joy, the energy, it's just not there. It's hard sometimes. What about spiritually? Would anybody be honest and brave enough to say to themselves, spiritually, I'm just kind of, I'm struggling. I see what the world is going through. I see what is happening, what's being said. I see these battles and that battle. I see what we say, see what the scripture says. I know what my heart feels. And there's this constant just working, and I am just struggling. The writer of Hebrews is going to encourage us to run with endurance. He's going to say stuff like this: lay aside the weights, lay aside sin. He's going to tell us, encourage us to run with endurance. But he does so from this perspective, and this is where our focus is going to be today. He says, but look to Jesus. So here's the message really summed up in one line. If you're going to run with endurance, you have to look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. There is some tie-in to last week's message, to this first point we'll bring up in just a second, because it is about looking to Jesus. The righteous run to the name of the Lord and are safe. We look to Jesus and we find endurance for the race we are called to run. Because I think that all of us would say here that we, like the Apostle Paul, would love to say, I've run my race, I've finished my course, amen? I think we'd all like to say or hear said to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We want Jesus to say, the race that I put before you, young man, young woman, that you ran it well. Well, over in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is written to weary runners. He's writing to Israel. He's writing to those who have been taken captive from Jerusalem and are now exiled in Babylon. He's writing to a people who are exhausted, discouraged, and even tempted to believe that God has forgotten them. In verse 27 of Isaiah chapter 40, you see that temptation that they had. The prophet writes, Jacob, why do you say, and Israel, why do you assert, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my claim is ignored by God? Does anybody ever feel like that you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed, and God just isn't answering? Do you feel discouraged? Maybe even tempted to think that God does not care about you. But it's that weariness, that potential discouragement, that struggle that God speaks into when he says these words, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. And what I love is this, is that before God tells any of us how to run this race that we are called to run, he tells them where to look. He tells them where to look. And that's where the writer in Hebrews chapter 12 began. He says, look unto Jesus. Church, here's the statement that I'm going to give you as we kick into the message this morning. If you want endurance in your spiritual walk, if you want to be able to keep on going, and by the way, it doesn't take long into your spiritual journey to realize that it's not all just like a field of roses. Or maybe it is all a field of roses, but it doesn't take you long to realize that there are thorns with those roses. That there's some difficulties in this race that we are called to run. So if you want endurance, here's where we begin. You must correct your vision. I want to read Isaiah chapter 40. And I'm going to read 21 through 30. 31, pardon me. And I want you to begin to see some things that is going to be used to help us to know how we can build endurance to keep on doing what's right when it would be so much easier not to do what's right. Verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not considered the foundations of the earth? God is enthroned above the circle of the earth. Its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He stretches the heavens like a thin cloth and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He reduces princes to nothing and makes judges of the earth like a wasteland. They are barely planted, barely sown. Their stem hardly takes root in the ground when he blows on them, and they wither, and a whirlwind carries them away like stubble. I love the question in verse 25. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal? Ask the Holy One. Look up and see. Who created these? He brings out the stars by number. He calls all of them by name because of his great power and strength, and not one of them is missing. Jacob, why do you say, and Israel, why do you assert, my way is hidden from the Lord and my claim is ignored by God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the faint and strength to the powerless. Youth may become faint and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. Endurance is what we desire. I want to keep going when I don't feel like it. I want to keep going and doing what everybody else around me may be quitting. I want to be the one that stays the course. I want you to be the ones that stay the course. How do we run with endurance? Here's the first point I give you. See Jesus. Consider the greatness of the one we run to. We talked about that a little bit last week, about the name of the Lord and his character and his qualities. That's what we run to. But I want to point out three things from this passage of Scripture to you to help you to build endurance. And the first thing is this: see Jesus, his eternal rule. See the fact that he is a sovereign God in control of all things. Isaiah reminds them that he is above the circles of the earth. Nations are like grasshoppers. Rulers are nothing before him. I'm reminded of Nebuchadnezzar, who was one of the greatest kings that literally this world has known. And he built a massive empire. And he stood out one day over his empire and he looked and says, "Look at what I have done." And for 7 years, God turned him into a wild beast where he was eating the grass in the fields. He went crazy. God was like, "No, you didn't do this. I have done this." The Israelites at this time were a people who were feeling dominated by Babylon. And God reminds them in this passage of Scripture that Babylon is actually dominated by him. The writer of Hebrews, he calls Jesus the author and the finisher of our faith. And he is not merely watching the race. You need to understand that. Before I move on to that next line there, you need to understand that God is not merely watching the race. He designed the race. He marked the course. And he stands at the finish line. What does it do for you when you consider that God is ruler over all? Charles Spurgeon said this, "The sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which the child of God rests his head." You know what? I've done some really stupid things in my life. Stupid things that there were consequences that I'd have to face. And when I laid my head down on my pillow, knowing those consequences that I'd have to face, there was still one thing that was true. God is sovereign. And I can trust His rule. I don't joke about this, and some people may think it's weird. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'd like to be totally dependent upon Him. What I mean totally dependent, what I mean is something simple like this. You can hear my congestion. You can hear that I don't feel real well. I woke up Friday night about 1:30 and my throat felt like it was just burning on fire. My lungs were hurting bad. And I woke up and I go out there to try to find something to bring some comfort. And as I'm walking, I'm like, "Lord, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, but You're my physician." Literal words that I'm saying as I'm walking down the hall. I'm making a call. Some call the teledoc. I called God and I said, "Lord, I need You. I need You. This hurts." And I can remember going laying back down and just saying, "Thank You, God. Thank You, God." And then I drifted off to sleep. As simple as it may seem, that pillow which I laid my head down was not the my pillow. It wasn't just the place I laid my head down on the fact that God is a sovereign God and He's in control of everything. You oftentimes will find yourself having a hard time sleeping at night because of the stresses and the worries of your day. You wonder how the financial things are going to take place in your life. You wonder how this is going to, your kids, this and that. There's all kinds of stresses. Lay your head down on the fact that God is a sovereign God. And you will find endurance for your race. You cannot endure if you think history is out of control. You endure when you see the One who sits on the throne, and that is Jesus. So we see His eternal rule, but also see His glory over creation. In verse 26, it says this, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. He calls the stars by name. Not one is missing. If He numbers the stars, He has not misplaced you." Does that bring comfort to anybody here today? That if God can number the stars and know where they are and call them by name, you who were created in His image has not been misplaced. When we struggle with endurance, the problem with that struggle is usually misplaced vision. What I mean by that is this, is that we will look at the obstacles, we'll look at fatigue, we'll look at our opposition, and then instead of looking for Christ, we see all those things and we begin to struggle. The writer of Hebrews, again, he said this, "Look unto Jesus." When he wrote that, the original hearers of those words would have read it with this understanding. I need to look away from everything else and fix my gaze upon Him. Look away from everything else and fix my gaze upon Him. Because, church, would you hear me on this? Endurance. Endurance is born in sight. Endurance is born in sight. Think about it. When Peter looked and saw Jesus on the water, he said, "Bid me come." Jesus says to Peter, come. Peter, with his eyes on Jesus, gets out of the boat and he walks on the water. And as he's walking on the water, the waves get bigger. Perhaps it's that the ebb and the flow where it's the wave up and then it's the wave down. And in the process, he sees Jesus. He doesn't see Jesus. And then next thing you know, he's just seeing the waves. And he began to what? Sink. But when Jesus called out and he looked at Jesus, he began to walk. You ever wonder how far he walked on that water? I think he walked far enough that going back to the boat wasn't an option. I think he walked far enough where the only source of help that he possibly had could be Jesus. But he took his eyes off and he sank. Jesus lifted him up. Did you ever ask the question to yourself, how did he get back to the boat? The waves were still the same. How did he get back to the boat? I'm going to tell you this. I don't think Jesus carried him back. I think he walked with Jesus back to the boat. And that makes a difference. That makes a big difference. God is in control over the storms of life. And if my eyes are focused on him, I will endure through those storms. We see his eternal rule. We see his glory over creation. And then the third thing that we see here is his suffering love. We took communion this morning, and it was to remind ourselves that Jesus died for us. His suffering love for us. We read earlier the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. I want you to hear this. He endured first. I'm encouraging you today to run with endurance. He endured first the race that we run. He has already run. The suffering that we fear, he has already faced. The cross that we dread, he has already carried. John Owen wrote this statement. A sight of the glory of Christ is the spring and the cause of our perseverance. The more that I see Jesus, that is what encourages me to persevere. You will not endure by staring at your endurance. You endure by staring at Jesus. We have to see Jesus if we're going to endure. Secondly, I will tell you this, that if you're going to endure, you need to understand your own personal weaknesses. It's this, it's the reality of the runner. And in verses 27 through 30 of Isaiah 40, Isaiah, the prophet, shifts from God's greatness to our frailty. And he brings up something here in verse 27 that we've read already. He brings up our tendency to doubt. Because one of our biggest weaknesses that we have is that we doubt. Anybody in here bold enough to say, hey, there are moments of doubt in my life? Of course. Of course there are moments of doubt. Doubt is often the cry of exhaustion. When runners get tired, they question things like this. Is it worth it? Does anyone see? Does God care? You know what happens when you get spiritually fatigued? If you could take something away from today's message, take this little thought here. Spiritual fatigue distorts theology. Meaning this, that when I get wore out spiritually, it can change how I view God. Does God even care about me? But the writer of Hebrews in verse 3 says this, consider him. It says, consider Jesus, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Can I free you from something? Does anybody in here today feel a little weary? Just something in life got you feeling a little bit of weariness. Weariness is not sin. Weariness is not sin. But believing God has forgotten you, perhaps that is a sin. God does not forget his people. We have a tendency to doubt. And we also know this, that even the strong collapse, have you seen some of those marathon runners? When you talk about some of the strongest people on earth, it's got to be a marathon runner. You ever seen the ones that, man, they're running and they're running their hardest and they get within about 100 yards of the finish line and their body just quits? It's not like it's the first time that they've run a marathon. They've run many marathons. But in this moment, their body just quits and their legs, everything just collapses. They just are down. This is what the Bible is saying, that even the youth shall faint and be weary. And it uses the concept of youth because youth represents natural strength. The strongest runner still tires. And so when we are encouraging you guys, let's run. Let's do what God has called us to. Let's be the church that God has called us to be. Let's be the light that we are to be to our community. Let's share the gospel. Let's run in this calling that we have. I want to let you know that even though we have this desire to run and we might be strong, we can still collapse. We can still get tired. Because the most disciplined saint still feels weakness. Paul felt it. He begged God for relief, and he came to this conclusion that God's grace is sufficient for him. A.W. Tozer said this, "The Christian is strong or weak depending on how closely he has cultivated the knowledge of God." Did you hear that quote? Can I read it again to you? The Christian is strong or weak depending upon how closely he has cultivated the knowledge of God. What we're trying to teach our church, what we're doing on Sunday afternoons specifically, is the priority of every believer is to know God. The only way that you continue is by knowing God. Because weakness is not the enemy of endurance. Self-sufficiency is. God allows fatigue. Excuse me, I'm sorry. God allows fatigue to expose dependence. The race is designed to reveal weakness. The race is designed to reveal weakness. We often think, do pardon me, church. We often think that as we walk this walk, and as we do what God has called us to do, that we're supposed to exhibit strength and strength and strength. But what happens if we understood that what God has called us to is actually designed to reveal that we can't? Then you might ask, well, then why? If I can't, Pastor, what's the point? The point is this: he can. He can. Some things we're supposed to lay aside, they're not sinful, they're just heavy. We're supposed to lay aside heavy expectations, heavy comparisons, because endurance requires humility. And one thing that God wants us to understand is that you cannot run well carrying what God never told you to carry. You ever felt that pressure? Sons and daughters, we all are, right? You ever felt that pressure to carry something that your dad or your mom wanted you to carry? And you carried it, and you carried it, and you carried it, and all it did was break you down. Don't carry anything that you're not designed to carry. But the race that we are called to run will reveal our weakness, and it's okay. It's designed to. Because in my weakness, His strength is made perfect. In your weakness, His strength is made perfect. So how do we build His endurance? How do we build this endurance? Verse 31 tells us so clearly. Wait on the Lord. That's the secret of endurance. This is the promise that we arrive at. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. This is not passive resignation. What I mean by that is this. It's not a matter of me coming and sitting and saying, all right, God, do your thing. Give me strength. No, it's not. It's to the opposite of that. It's me continuing to serve God, trusting that God is going to bring me through. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. It is an active trust. The word wait carries the idea of hopeful expectations. It means this. To wait on the Lord is to bind yourself to Him, to look with anticipation, to trust in confident dependence. If you want to build endurance, wait on the Lord. Waiting renews strength. He does not give new strength. He renews your strength. It's like an exchanging of worn out garments. God does not remove the race. He refreshes the runner. He is the author and the finisher of the race. He starts it. He sustains it. Waiting renews strength. Waiting produces perspective. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. When you wait on the Lord, you are like an eagle. You rise above the storm. You don't flap harder. You simply catch the wind currents and go above the storms. When I wait on the Lord, it teaches us to catch divine currents instead of flapping in human panic. Anybody in here know what the flap of human panic looks like? I do. You're trying everything and nothing is working out. You're trying. Maybe it looks like manipulation. Maybe it looks like you give up. But what we need to do is learn to wait. J.I. Packer wrote, "Trust is a habit. The more you exercise it, the stronger it grows." In other words, he's saying this, is that waiting on the Lord builds spiritual muscle. And we need some spiritual bodybuilders in here that learn to wait on the Lord. Because why? Waiting builds endurance for the long run. They shall run and not be weary. You see, here's what you need to understand, is that sometimes God lifts you. Sometimes He sustains you quietly. And sometimes He simply strengthens your stride. Have you found yourself in one of those three places before? Where you were going through a difficult time and somehow God just miraculously showed up. And you got through it. Sometimes you're going through something and you don't know exactly how you got through it, but you got through it. God was there sustaining you quietly. And sometimes he just gives you strength that you know that there comes this extra burst of strength and you just push forward. But something that's important to understand is that endurance is not dramatic. It's faithful. Endurance isn't something that just burst on the scene and all of a sudden I've got it and boom, look at me. It's something that happens because of faithfulness in everyday work. We are called to run with endurance the race set before us. Did you catch that? You are called to run the race that was set before you. Not someone else's race, your race. The only way that I would make that the same race is that if we as a church wanted to apply it as a church, we are called to run our race as a church, not somebody else's church's race. So the question then comes to us as we begin to wrap this message up. How do we run with endurance? How do I run in a way that I have endurance that I will keep on going? I think it begins here. Number one, correct your vision daily. Meaning this is that start your day looking at Christ before anything else. Start your day looking at Christ before news, before problems, before pressures. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Number two, admit your weakness quickly. Admit your weakness quickly. You're not wrong. You're not wrong by saying, God, I'm tired. He can handle your tiredness. And then I'll give you one better than just handling your exhaustion. He'll strengthen you in that moment. Third, how do we run with endurance? Practice waiting intentionally. Do you know what it is to wait intentionally? Let me give you what it looks like. It's about prayer. Intentional waiting is prayer. Intentional waiting is stillness. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. Intentional waiting is scripture meditation. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth fruit in its season. Intentional waiting is trust in delay. An example of trust and delay is Daniel. He gets a word from God, from an angel, and he doesn't understand the word. So he calls out to God and says, God, I need some clarity on this. And so God sends the angel Gabriel to give him the answer. And while Gabriel's on his way, the prince of Persia, the spiritual wickedness in Persia, fights against him. And so for 3 weeks, Daniel prayed and fasted. And the delay of the message, even though God answered it and sent the message right away, there was a delay, and he still trusted God to seek God. Waiting intentionally is not wasted time. It's training time. It's training time. Church, I close this message with giving you these thoughts. The finish line that you're called to run to is a person. Look unto Jesus, we are told. The finish line is not success, it's not relief, it's not retirement, it is Christ. He endured the cross, he despised the shame. He sat down at the right hand of God, and one day we will finish our race and see him face to face. Until then, see Him, know your weakness, wait on Him, run with endurance. I will admit this. Some of you are tired. Some of you are doubting. Some of you are barely walking. But would you hear the prophet Isaiah? The everlasting God does not faint nor grow weary. Your strength is limited, His is not. Your endurance fluctuates, His faithfulness does not. So fix your eyes, lay aside the weight, wait on the Lord, because the one at the finish line is also the one who runs with you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?